From the KTOO newsroom, I'm Claire Strempel with a quick look at your state and local news. A Juneau mental health organization is helping people formerly involved in the justice system get housing. And the program is working. As KTOO's Lindsay Berlini reports, getting these people in secure housing is important for reducing recidivism and having a safe community.
Nathan Block works with people before they are released from incarceration to develop a plan once they are out so they can re-enter society successfully. One of the big challenges is housing. People don't want to rent to them because of their background. One way to increase housing for justice-involved people is to create housing specifically for them. And there are currently some places in Juneau that do that. But Block says that also has its problems sometimes. Some former inmates have a stigma with those houses and don't want to stay in a place where they think people aren't trying to work on themselves. When it comes to employment, there are fidelity bonds available. Those lower the risks and financial burden on employers. Block would like to see a similar program for housing, too.
So then landlords who most likely in the past haven't wanted to be a part of the voucher programs will see that then they're assured. So that if there ever is a situation, they don't have to spend a lot of their own personal money updating the facility or the apartment, et cetera, for the next person.
When people are released, Block says that sometimes a person will have a big family in town who they can rely on, but that's not common. Sometimes they are put up in hotels, which he says doesn't really solve anything. And they can't just look on Facebook or Craigslist for a place. It's next to impossible for them to find housing that way. Block says that solving the housing problem for justice-involved people is going to require effort not just from those people, but from the community too.
Most people who are involved in the justice system don't just wake up in the morning and say, what crimes can I commit today? It's a result of untreated trauma. It's a result of a history of colonialism, and it's also a result of a community who doesn't want to help them.
Block has personal experience with incarceration, mental health, and substance use, but he went through a program that helps people in his situation go to college, and it changed his life. He got his bachelor's and master's, and now he's helping other justice-involved people better their own lives, like Angel Munoz. After doing 7.5 years at Lemon Creek Correctional Center in Juneau, Munoz was living in a situation he didn't want to be in. He heard about the re-entry program when he was going to see his parole officer and decided to check it out. At first, progress felt slow, like nothing was happening.
But you got to want to help yourself before they can help you, you know what I mean? So they're not going to do all the work for you. They want you to do some of the work.
And he did the work, going to counseling, AA, and working 2 jobs. And then they secured him a spot at the Breakwater Inn. But the funding for it ran out, and Munoz started panicking.
I didn't know what to do. I felt like I was hopeless. I didn't have control of my life. And I go, what? I'm doing this just to get to back where I was starting? I go, no.
Eventually, he got housing at St. Vincent de Paul. The reentry program paid for a few months there so he could save his paychecks up for a deposit on an apartment. And now he has an apartment he's been in for about 4 months now. He did the work to make his life better for his son, so he could start fresh and have a place for him.
Because I do love him, and I need to show him that I love him by doing all this. Because, you know, if I tell him I love him, and I'm going back to jail, that's not showing him I love him. That's telling him I really don't care, you know?
Munoz says that people who were in his position should all go through the reentry program. He says it isn't easy, but if they put in the work and do everything honestly, something will work out. He says he's grateful for all the people who helped him get where he is today and didn't give up on him. People who saw him as a person who deserved a second chance. In Juneau, I'm Lindsay Berlini.
Juneau's Emergency Operations Center is closing down this weekend after more than 2 years of pandemic management. I talked to city and hospital employees about what that change means and sat down for this conversation with Bridget Dowd.
Hi, Claire.
Hi, Bridget.
So this feels like the end of an era, but there are still high rates of COVID-19 in Juneau. So why is the city getting out of the pandemic management business?
City officials and the assembly know that COVID-19 is still spreading in the community. What they're saying is COVID-19 isn't an emergency anymore. At the beginning of the pandemic, the assembly authorized the EOC, the Emergency Operations Center team, to manage the city's response and to impose safety restrictions. that authorization is ending. But the virus is something we have to live with in Juneau. So a lot of the tools that city employees managed as part of that EOC for the last 2 years are going to be taken care of by local healthcare providers and the state's public health office in Juneau.
Okay, so if COVID-19 is here to stay, why is this happening now?
I talked to Robert Barr. He's been in charge of the EOC since the beginning of the pandemic in Juneau. He says now that people have the tools to calculate risk and things like vaccines and antibody treatments to combat the virus itself, it's time to stop treating COVID-19 like an emergency. He said a lot of city staff have been doing two jobs for a long time. For instance, he was the head of the library system in addition to being the incident commander for about a year. So now public health officials and community healthcare providers are going to take on long-term management of the pandemic. Also, we know a lot more about the virus than we did 2 years ago. People can choose to mask and social distance. They can also choose to get vaccinated or to use antiviral treatments if they test positive.
Okay, so are local pandemic protections like testing, case counts, and free masks going away?
No, but they are changing. For 2 years, people were getting tested at the city's testing facility at the fire station. Starting in about a week, on May 8th, Bartlett Regional Hospital will be managing COVID-19 testing. The hospital will bill your insurance if you have it, but hospital officials say they won't charge anyone out of pocket. The city will stop updating its COVID-19 dashboard. So if you want to check case counts and hospitalizations, you have to get that information from the state dashboard. It's a little more work to find local numbers, but it's doable. It's worth mentioning that our local public health office is still tracking COVID-19 like they have since the beginning of the pandemic, and they're reporting that information to the state. And the city will still provide free, high-quality masks and at-home test kits, as long as there's state and federal resources to do so. So you can grab those at City Hall and Juneau Libraries.
And what about mask mandates?
Those have only been a recommendation in the city for months now. After the end of April, the city won't be able to impose them anymore unless the city manager makes a new public health emergency declaration.
And the COVID-19 hotline?
You can still call it. Bartlett will manage that after the end of the month, though, not the city's emergency operations. And Robert Barr says you can still reach him at the manager's office if you have questions.
All right. Well, that's KTOO's Claire Strumpel. Claire, thanks for sitting down with me.
Thanks, Bridget. Authorities in Alaska have announced a spate of recent seizures of narcotics in South Central and Southeast Alaska. State troopers say two separate drug busts this week yielded 4,700 counterfeit oxycodone pills stamped M30, containing the powerful synthetic opioid fentanyl. In one case, investigators say they were tipped off on Wednesday about a package bound for Prince of Wales Island community of Craig. Members of the regional Southeast Alaska Cities Against Drugs Task Force tracked the package down at a home in the nearby community of Klawak. Police arrested three Prince of Wales Island residents in connection with the bust, which reportedly turned up 2,000 counterfeit fentanyl pills and a pound of crystal methamphetamine. Police estimate the value of the drugs seized in the Prince of Wales Island haul at more than $250,000. In a separate case, investigators with the interagency Anchorage Airport Interdiction Team reportedly seized 2,700 fentanyl-laced pills from a package at a commercial shipping facility in Anchorage. Investigators say they arrested two people at a Wasilla home thought to be connected to the package on Tuesday, along with a third who was wanted in California on unrelated charges. Police say the pills are worth roughly $100,000 at Matsu prices, substantially less than the street value on Prince of Wales Island. In a third case announced by Juneau Police on Wednesday, authorities arrested two Washington State residents at the city's airport on Tuesday that they say were carrying heroin, fentanyl, and pills. More than 250 Alaskans died of drug overdoses in the 12 months ending in November of 2021, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. That's up by more than 80% from the previous year. Roughly 4 out of 5 of the overdose deaths were attributed to opioids like heroin and fentanyl. It's partly sunny today with a high of around 57. Saturday is likely to be mostly sunny with a high near 57 degrees as well. Increasing clouds and a low chance of rain Saturday night. Rain likely on Sunday with a high near 50. You're listening to KTOO. You can hear these stories and more on our website at ktoo.org.